This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Wednesday. Today on the radio show, let's see. John Martin joins us every Wednesday. John will join us today, I do believe. Straight up at 10 o'clock, we do not have Chris Harrington. He's hiking. Actually, I don't think he's hiking
anymore. He's actually driving today.
Now he's driving.
Yeah.
He's driving through the great plains where there's no cell phone service. And so Chris will probably be back tomorrow, seems likely. But no Chris today. We do have Sam Hardiman in the second hour. Couple stories. Colossus, Jeffrey, is going to fire up. Colossus 2 is going to be fired up.
I barely knew Colossus 1.
I didn't even, yeah. The names are like, certainly futuristic and impressive, right? Colossus and the mega.
I don't think of Colossus, though, as futuristic.
Well, it's giant, though.
I think of Colossus as Colosseum. I actually think of it as ancient.
That's true. I can see that. I see that. I can see why. Look at you. Look at you mm-hmm. with your rich... appreciation of history.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, Sam will join us. He also had the story yesterday about the Grizzlies and the lease negotiations and that there will not be an agreement this summer. So we will talk to him about those things. So that's what we're going to do today. We're going to talk to John Martin coming up next. We're going to talk to Sam Hardiman in the second hour, and otherwise it will be us. A lot of stuff today, including... football, Jeffrey. Football's on TV.
Camps are.
You notice that?
Well, like, I've noticed we've had camps opening.
Yeah.
And
you got people talking, people showing up, coaches talking.
Correct.
GMs talking.
Don't forget about holdouts.
Jerry Jones talking. We got holdouts. We got projections.
First Take's talking about the Cowboys. Who could have ever thought about that?
Who could have ever imagined that First Take? Look at there. There's the star.
Mm-hmm.
There's the star. Someone said yesterday about Jerry Jones. If he could guarantee that in the next, I forgot what the offer was, whatever, in the next 5 years, he would win two Super Bowls, okay? But he would, as part of this deal, never be allowed to speak to the media or hold a press conference. Would he take it? And the answer was that they were supposing that he would not take it. I like Super Bowls, but I like the spotlight more. Do you believe that?
I'm less clear on that. I do think this would be true, though. If you told him you could win two Super Bowls in the next 5 years, but you have zero control, like, essentially you are just...
Okay, well, that's another version of the same question.
No, because I think part of it is he wants to win a Super Bowl with a team.
That he does, right?
Yeah.
Right, yeah. That's very clear. Well, those are different. The media part... Well, what if it... Okay, let me ask you this. What if he would have no control, but everyone wouldn't know that he would have no control? You know, in other words, people still could assume he would know that he has no control. Here's the deal. Jerry, you can win two Super Bowls. And we aren't going to tell anyone this. But the football people are making all the shots. You no longer have any decision-making power. But the world will not know that. They will assume the world will be as it ever was.
I think he would still say no, because I think he also knows, and probably rightfully so, as soon as the day he dies, the story.
No. I'm positing that, and no one will ever know. He will always get, even though he will know.
Is it the credit
for the control he wants, or the control he wants? I'm trying to isolate those two.
I think it's also he wants to validate his football acumen.
Right. So you do think that if the deal was simply Jerry, you're going to win two Super Bowls, it will be no changes in the way the Cowboys will run. You are still in control, but you can never talk about it. You can never make another media appearance. That's the deal. You can never speak to the media or make a statement that will be heard by the media. No public statements. You will now become purely a private person in your interactions with the world, but you'll still be running the Cowboys and you'll win two Super Bowls. Will you take it?
So the problem is, I think he would accept the deal. I think the problem is there's no way he could do it.
That's not my. I'm stipulating that you can cut his tongue out if he did it. Like, whatever. You have to, for the purpose of this exercise, you have to accept that these things are possible.
See, I think most of what drives him is trying to. He believes in his football acumen, and he's trying to prove everyone wrong. So I guess the problem is, if he can't speak about it, he couldn't do it.
And the other problem is that he...
Shout out to us for getting six minutes of Cowboys talk as we made fun of First Take.
He would totally reject the premise of the question. You know, like, it would...
Right, he wouldn't entertain it.
There's no way in which I'm more likely to win a Super Bowl if I give up control, right? He does believe in his genius, and so... So you're exactly right. There is the news from Cowboys camp yesterday. What the hell? If you can't beat him, join him, Jeffrey. Micah Parsons, was a little grumpy. I said, I just don't understand. And he also said, if this is the end, this is the end.
Yeah. I think this is all a dog and pony show.
Right. It's going to happen by opening day.
Jerry's been pretty good about paying his guys.
Anyway, I like all the... he pays him a lot. Yes, yeah. Exactly. Holds out to the last moment, and then he pays him more than he otherwise would have to.
My left tackle's hurt.
Who's your left tackle?
Thomas.
Is he badly hurt?
They're saying they're expecting him to be ready for the opener.
I'll say this. Among the things that are most discouraging.
Training camp injuries, 100%.
Season-ending training camp injuries.
Players. There's the life cycle.
Non-contact.
You hear somebody goes down in a non... Some reporter tweets out, so-and-so went out with a non-contact injury, and you're like, well, they're with that season.
I even feel bad for Chiefs fans if they have that. Like, Maybe not. But yes, the worst thing is... I mean, we got helmets. I heard yesterday that we are once more immersed in NFL talk. We got the news that the Bills are bringing back their red helmets
for the final game.
I don't like the red helmets that much. Do you love them?
No,
I like the standing buffalo helmet.
I like the white helmet. Is that the one you're talking about?
A leaping buffalo. The sort of traditional.
Yeah, I like that one.
It's the traditional helmet. I don't love one of the nice things about Buffalo, and I think is there any other city where the name of the city is itself a mascot? There's no other city that's named.
I mean, any other cities that are named after
an animal?
Yeah.
Is there any other city that's named after an animal?
It has to be.
There's certainly no other NFL city. There's no other major league city that's named after an animal, is it? Really, it's kind of nice. Now, Buffalo is not named after the animal, Buffalo. Buffalo is named after beautiful river in French. Beaufle or something like that. That's what it's...
It's the Anglicanization of a French word.
And it's not actually
so people
named after
people that
Buffalo.
Didn't speak French heard it
and they go, oh, Buffalo.
Buffalo.
Yeah,
okay.
That makes sense. Yeah, I got you, Buffalo. And then you'll stick it on a helmet. And then we'll create a leaping Buffalo. And then we'll create a red helmet. And that's basically history in a nutshell, people.
I got a take.
Uh huh.
You ready?
Yeah.
I think the Ravens are the most overrated team in the NFL.
Really?
And here would be my justification. I'm talking collectively.
Hold on. Tony Walton says Phoenix.
But they're not the Phoenix.
No, but is there another city that is named after
But
an
is
animal?
Phoenix named after the rising, like the bird that...
Is it named after the bird or is it named after the... I think Phoenix, I think he's got a right. The Phoenix is a mythical. Look at Tony. Look at Tony coming through. Why they should be the Arizona Phoenix. Wouldn't that be good? The Arizona
plural.
Phoenix? The Phoenix, mythical, immortal bird, cyclically regenerated. That's like a rebuilding, right? Basically, that is the story of the Arizona Cardinals/Phoenix, or reborn from the ashes of its predecessor. Right?
Yeah. No, I'm with you.
I think Phoenix.
I'm trying to figure out if that's what the city's named after.
No. Oh, I think so. I would think so. But so.
See, I would think that would go back to.
Cities named after animals. Look at that. Look at our educated audience coming through with one. Let's see if there's anyone. Cities named. Anyway, what were you going to say? You think they're overrated. Why?
Because I think we'll do this each and every year. Number one, they were number one in ESPN's power rankings. So shout out to ESPN for getting it going. I'm probably the biggest Eagle hater out there on the planet. I do not understand how you can make a justification that the Eagles are not the best roster in football. Like, they should be number one. Not only are they defending champions, look what they did to everyone else. They should be the number one team. But we've done this thing with the Ravens where we act like every single year they're the number one seed. Because you can know, rinse, repeat, here's what's going to happen. They're going to have a week 8 game. Lamar's going to throw for 250, run for another 100. Derrick Henry's going to run for 150, and everyone's just going to announce on Monday, best team in football. Best team in football. And then we're going to have a rinse repeat of what happens each and every year. They will be done by divisional weekend.
They scare me. They
Exactly. They, you fall they, into the
they,
trap.
They scare me. I think the most overrated team in instant. Instant take. I reserve
these
the
right gut takes. Yes,
to change this.
This would technically be workshopping.
The Denver Broncos.
I'm with you on that. They're,
and the underrated team is the Jacksonville Jaguars. I think they're going to.
I'm definitely with you on Denver because if you go back and you look at Denver last year, they go 10-7.
They beat nobody of any consequence.
Correct.
Except the Chiefs when the Chiefs weren't trying.
The Chiefs were just making sure the Bengals didn't get in.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So yes, they put up great defensive numbers, but they're sort of the hot team. I think that look out for Denver to dethrone the Chiefs. I'm not buying it. Anyway, Eagles did have, they lost Josh Sweat, Milton Williams, CJ Gardner Johnson. Like they had
some
losses.
Well, he competed too hard.
Darius Slay.
That was my favorite line of the offseason. They got rid of me because I was too much.
Right, exactly. And then of course, whatever, they lose Mekhi Becton and they bring in Kenyon Green, right? Sort of one, they get a bust, they do a reclamation project on the bust, then he goes away and then they bring in another one in Kenyon Green for the offensive line. Anyway, it'll be interesting. We got NFL, ladies and gentlemen, so that's good. Maybe we'll talk about it more as the season. And thanks to Tony for the Phoenix. There are evidently other cities that are named after animals. But nothing of any
sort, like note.
Nothing big enough. Like there's Bear Creek, Alaska, and there's Beaver, Utah, and there's a Beaverton, Colorado.
But is Bear Creek named after?
That's maybe. But the bear. I presume that Bear Creek is named after bear. There's Antelope, California.
Well, we had Beaverton. We should miss Beaverton, Oregon.
Yeah, Beaverton. I said Beaverton. There's Elephant Island and Arctic, like, but whatever. Yeah, there's Kangaroo Island, South Australia.
Your point was, is there a city with a franchise?
There's no city with a franchise with a logo,
correct,
right, embedded right in it.
That was your point.
It's back to pure genius. Anyway, okay. The news broke last night that the Showboats are out of here. Go Boats. A couple things. First of all, I never thought the Showboats were a good idea. I never thought they had any chance of making it, and I'm not surprised at their departure.
They never even leaned into the nostalgia. All they did was just take the name, But they didn't have any of the uniforms, nothing. There was none of the imaging. All they just said was call in the showboats.
They weren't here a lot. You know, they flew in for the whatever. But even more than that, I don't think that where we are as a in the trajectory of our city, our municipality, our community, I just don't think people are interested in minor league teams. Some. Like, I think 901 FC had a real fan base, and it's a real blow that it lost, that they left.
They had a real fan base pre-pandemic.
Yes, right. And then it trailed off. But I think they offered something that was new and interesting. And
I agree with that.
And had a growth potential. The Showboats offered just the latest of, I mean, we've been down this road a million times before. And once upon a time, when the minor league football team came or the alternative league football team came, it was a chance to prove your mettle as a community. And so people showed up and they thought it might, and there was incredible enthusiasm for it. But when it has happened.
Same reason why St. Louis actually had people show up.
And I think 17 times it's happened. No, maybe not that many, but like people are just over it. You know, they're just over it. Plus, there was no pretense that this was leading to anything other than minor league football. But before I talk about all the reasons that I don't think it was going to make it, or I'm not particularly heartbroken that it's gone, I do want to acknowledge two things. One is there are people who worked for that organization who worked really hard for that organization. Steve Macy, we've had him here talking about it. He busted his ass to try to make it work. And so I think it was a failed enterprise from the start, but I think the people who invested themselves in it on the working for it, it's not an easy day. And in really difficult circumstances, they did everything they could to try to make it work. And so those people, hat tip to them for the work they put in on what was ultimately a futile exercise. And then secondly, there were some fans. And so it's not like there's no one that's sad today that they're leaving. There was the Yacht Club, Jeffrey. And the Yacht Club was a very small but very passionate group of fans.
Yep.
And for those folks, same thing. I'm not going to, glory in the demise of when something leaves. There are people who enjoy it. There are people who work for it. And so I'm not going to celebrate the departure of the Showboats because of the people who worked for them and the people.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Who enjoyed them? Beyond that, though, it was a stupid idea. It was just like, read the room, man. It's possible that there would be some minor league or some new franchise. And let's be honest, we are at the, in this city's history right now, we're at the let's try to hang on to franchises stage, not let's try to add new ones, right?
Yep.
But there are some, like, whatever. You could imagine enthusiasm for WNBA team, which isn't coming here either. Or what? Like, there are things that
I think
are,
it has to be to your 901 FC point, I think it has to be something new.
I think it has to be something new. And the truth of the matter is, it would be better if it were at the highest form of whatever it is, right? You
sure.
know what I mean? Like, we're kind of over the latest dog and pony league coming in here with a clearly minor league product. Like, we're just, there are some cities, and maybe this is, maybe it's sort of a relief. There are some cities that are very clearly minor league cities and know their place. You know what I mean? Like, they are happy. The Pawtucket Red Sox, right?
Sure.
They know they're Pawtucket, for God's sakes. And they don't aspire to, this is great. The Durham Bulls, right? Like, well, we're Durham.
Good stadium.
It's got to, but there are minor league cities that are so clearly minor league cities. They're like, damn it, we should have something better here, right? It's honestly the same thing in college football. If you are a very clearly a Division II program that has a history of being a Division II program and you don't aspire to be competing for Division I national championships or whatever, there's a certain joy and relief to that, right?
You're Delta like, State.
It's who we are. Yeah, yeah. Let's be who we are. Is it North Dakota? Who's all winning all those college football championships?
So North Dakota State is, yeah, it's gotten a little bit
more. Do they aspire now to bigger things?
Well, no, the problem that they're having is everybody's raiding their roster.
Right. So anyway, in some ways, there's a comfort in knowing where you are and who you are. And Memphis is caught in this great between that Memphis, we think we're a major league, but we are the smallest and the poorest of the major leagues. And for minor league, we think we're kind of too good for the minor leagues. And then certainly when you get the latest, we've seen this so many times. They come, they're here for 2 years, they leave. They come, they're here for 2 years, they leave. They come, they're here for 2 years, they leave. No one believes in it. Like, no one believes in it. It's the boy who cried boat, right? Like, it's so... No one ever believed. The only person I think who thought this was a good idea was, God bless his memory, Fred Smith.
Yeah.
And so I love the name.
I agree. The name is great.
When we showed up for that first press conference where everyone schlepped on whatever, everyone showed up at the, and it was because it was a Fred Smith production.
Yep.
And so literally the whole city council was there.
Well, and
for a minor league team.
The Speaker of the House was there. And we were trying to get the money for the arena.
Yeah, that's
and the
true.
Stadium.
It was preposterous.
We were on our best behavior.
We were all on, I guess Fred wants us to be here, so we'll be here. But we show up for that thing, and they don't even use the, as you pointed out, the merch and the logo and whatever else. It's all like, can't we have, lean into the nostalgia, be the boats. Don't just take the name. And
there's no way that trademark still lasted.
So from the very beginning, it was ill-advised from the very beginning. Then they come here. And let's think back and remember that glorious 5-5 season, Jeffrey.
Yeah, who could forget?
Because those were the days. After that, 2-8 and 2-8. 2-8. So it was a team that no one had any interest in that to begin with, except for Fred. And that was
in the yacht club.
That was based elsewhere.
Yes.
And that went 9-21.
Not in football season.
Yeah, not in football season. It's lunacy. Now, what's interesting is the teams that are moving, this is all according to reports, Michigan.
Yep.
Birmingham.
Mm-hmm.
Houston and Memphis, they were not all stinky. Birmingham was a juggernaut.
I think they won the league one.
Yeah. Birmingham was a juggernaut. And but they're all the USFL teams.
Yeah.
They're all the USFL teams. And they're moving. And I like, who knows? Maybe those communities haven't been subjected to this sort of cycle of team coming, team drawing no fans.
Birmingham's got to be up there, right?
But yeah, no, but the teams that they're leaving, the places that they're going to might be fresh in terms of this. Boise.
Okay.
I don't recall any Boise teams before.
I mean, I'm sure they've had minor league baseball.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Columbus.
Okay.
A Florida team. The rumor is Orlando. I can't believe that's going to be a success. And either Louisville or Lexington.
Okay. My whole thing on this is there was news this week to legitimately get depressed about.
Oh, no, no.
I was not.
I did see people say, man, the latest blow in a tough week for Memphis.
I was like, no. This did not register.
You do not include this in the 100%. Tough week for Memphis. Now, it is interesting, though. Like, again, I don't think this is it's not even a bad day. I mean, it's a bad day for the people who worked for him, and it's a bad day for the yacht club. Right? Is that what? How many people we got there? 300 total?
Okay. Sure. Yeah.
For the rest of it, no one cares. Like, no one cares.
I mean, you could literally count the people at games. Like, you could do, like, point your finger and count.
It was a worse day when Houston's closed. Many more people cared. Many.
Well, the worst day was Houston's getting rid of chicken tenders. Like, we're going through the Houston's life cycle. Yeah,
it was a bad day when Houston's closed. Or when Houston got rid of the chicken tenders.
The first worst day was when they were too good for cheese soup. The Houston's cheese soup brought the noise. Then getting rid of the chicken tenders.
This is like, what's a chain restaurant we didn't ever want that closed? Came here and failed. That's what it is.
Well, once upon a time, Whataburger. But now it's back.
Yeah. This is. Do not add this to the litany of bad days for Memphis, because it should not be included on that list. The other things, sure, you can include the other things on the list. The Big 12, that was a bad day for Memphis, and the story from Sam Hardiman, who we'll have later on in the show, that the lease is not going to be reached with the Grizzlies this summer, according to the mayor. That's not a good day either. And again, it's too bad when a community loses anything. But 901 FC was much more problematic to me. And honestly, I'm much more focused on the Redbirds to a minor extent and the Grizz to a significant extent. Right? Let's be honest, really just the Grizz.
I mean, if we're putting Redbirds and Grizzlies in the same sentence.
One is interest of 100 and one is interest of six.
Well, also to me, the Redbirds would be like symbolic.
Well, the Redbirds, because they it's really where the stadium is, right?
It symbolized, like, it was the first time in my lifetime that, like, hey, we can do this.
Yes, exactly. Yes, it would be. Not a lot of people would miss going to Redbirds games. But having an empty stadium at 3rd and Union of this once triumphant franchise, that would be a blow. So there you go. All right, we're going to talk to John Martin on the other side about what the University of Memphis should do next. But before I do that, I did want to ask you big Ozzy Osbourne guy.
So I mean, obviously. I mean, Black Sabbath is not like one of my all time. Like, I'm not just listening to some Black Sabbath, but like, he is kind of like an icon.
He is certainly an icon. He is certainly, or was certainly, Ozzy Osbourne died yesterday at 70.
I don't know. I guess I was surprised by all the people that were surprised. Like, he did the farewell show. Like, he had to sit down doing the farewell show. Like,
right.
It was bad.
I think it's a moment even it's just a moment.
I'm fine celebrating him, yes. But my deal is the people that were acting like, I can't believe this happened. Really?
What I confess, certainly never went to a Black Sabbath concert. And I was of the Black Sabbath era. Wasn't really my jam. I know that'll shock y'all out there. And I don't think I ever watched that episode of The Osbournes, but that was a phenomenon.
Sure.
Did you ever watch The Osbournes?
No, but I was never really a big reality TV guy.
It was a phenomenon.
Massive
hit. And, you know, sort of the...
I mean, that's the joke in the Bowling for Soup 1985 song. When did Ozzy become an actor?
But what was interesting to me was I did see yesterday on Memphis pages, various Memphis pages and sites, this photo that kept popping up of a mugshot of Ozzy Osbourne in a St. Louis Blues jersey.
We had a chance to dust off that one. Go ahead and repackage
I've never seen it before.
I have no idea.
You're like deeply familiar with it?
The Memphis Arrest?
And the Memphis Arrest.
Still played the show that night.
Yeah. So it was...
That's rock and roll, baby.
It was 1984. He was arrested for staggering drunk down Beale Street.
Did not know that that was even a thing.
Right. I thought that's what you did
especially in the 80s.
No wonder our jails are overcrowded if you can't even stagger drunk down Beale Street. Anyway, arrested on a misdemeanor citation for staggering drunk down Beale Street. This is according to Jody Callahan of the Daily Memphian. You can read the story over there. He spent 5 hours in jail. And then, of course, because it's a revolving door in there, just sprung.
Yep.
They just sprung out of there. We can't hold anyone. In true metal fashion, got out on bail. Still performed before 8,200 fans at the Mid-South Coliseum that night, according to the CA review of the show. That's interesting, by the way. We used to do
concert
the next day reviews of concerts. Dressed as some sort of a cult cowboy, minus the hat and gun, Osbourne calmly walked the stage, never once leaving his feet, leered at the audience, and generally had a great time being himself. 2 days later, he played at the Municipal Auditorium in Nashville. "We let it all hang out in Memphis," he said, referencing reports that he was also caught relieving himself in public while on Beale.
Mm.
That would get you arrested.
Right. That one makes more sense to me than just, hey, this guy
wandering
can't
drunk
stand
down
up.
Beale Street. Yeah. Anyway, so then there's the mugshot, and it's a highly disheveled Ozzy, blonde, tousled hair, Jeffrey, wouldn't you say? And wearing this same Louis Blues shirt, which no one quite understood, although he had played St. Louis.
There we go.
2 weeks before.
It was what was in the van.
I love the St. Louis Blues shirt.
Mm-hmm. No, it is a good logo.
That's magnificent. He went on to play three more times at the Pyramid. I saw Ron Olson posted today that I think he played a concert in 78 where the band stopped by, of course, to pay their respects to Ron Olson. So Ron has a picture with the band. And but after the arrest, he played three more times, all at the Pyramid. So there you go. Truly an icon. Ozzy Osbourne bit the head off a bat, very famously. Said it, we thought it was a toy. That was the excuse. And there you go. All right, we're going to talk to John Martin coming up next. He has a suggestion, gone on record, written a column, saying what Memphis should do with all this money that they've assembled. So we'll talk to him about that coming up next. In the meantime, if you're selling your house, it's Josh Hysaw and Keller Williams Realty. That's who you should call. Among other things, listen, Jack is great at marketing your home. He understands the market. He understands marketing, which is different. But he also will do this deal where you get an instant cash offer if you don't want to pour money into fixing up your home or having showings or any of that. And unlike the calls and texts you get all the time asking you to sell your home, my son Andrew got one the other day. Instant cash offer for your home. Andrew's like, all I own is a cat, man. Whatever. Yeah, I'll give you instant cash offer for my cat, maybe. You know, they're lowballing you. Of course, they're lowballing you. Well, that's not what Josh Hysaw is about. Josh Hysaw will give you an offer for a full market value of your home. So you contact him. Go to joshhasthebuyers.com. He'll come out. You don't have to do, you know, you don't have to make it all fancy. He knows the market. He knows the home. Look at the comps, all of that. And he'll give you a fair offer for your home. he lives here. He don't want to be ripping off Memphians. He wants to make sure you get what you should get for your home. And he'll give you up to 4 months to move. So if you, again, if you want to sell your home, no muss, no fuss, no stress, Josh Hysaw and the team at Keller Williams Realty, check them out at joshhasthebuyers.com. John Martin on the other side, Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
All right, this is it. This is the last chance to save up to 40% off of all diamond jewelry and engagement rings at the Summer of 1,000 Engagements. Over at Robert Owen Jewelers. That's right. This is it. It's why great things don't last forever. You can't expect Howie to be giving away purchase of free diamond stud earrings with any purchase of $9.99 or more, and a free Yeti Tundra cooler with any purchase of $24.99 or more forever. On top of the 40% up to 40% savings on all diamond jewelry and engagement rings. So, if you've got an important diamond purchase in your future, do it now. Do it now. Take advantage of the Summer of 1,000 Engagements. So, for example, a 3-carat diamond tennis bracelet, that's only $9.99. You get a free pair of diamond stud earrings. Diamond tennis necklace, that's only $14.99. Once again, free pair of diamond stud earrings. All on top of the financing, which is tremendous. Take up to 60 months to pay. It is the Summer of 1,000 Engagements, and it is winding down. Check it out at Robert Irwin Jewelers. 5 locations are online at rijewelers.com. John Martin joins me now. John's the proud owner of a new vehicle. How's it going, John? How do you like it?
Yeah, I mean, my kids like it. That's kind of the big thing, right? My kids love riding it. Like we took my kid to school today. Well, both kids ended up riding along.
It's a Telluride. It's a Kia Telluride. I'll be honest. I'm looking because you used to drive an Acura, And I'm like,
I drove an Audi.
An Audi. I'm sorry. Began with an A. I knew that. And like, John's driving an Audi. Man, I wonder what Jason and John are making. They must do a lot better than me and Jeffrey. And so,
I got a lot of jobs, man.
And then I think to myself, now he's driving a Kia? What's hard times come across? But I looked up the Kia Telluride. My God, people love that vehicle. It is the highest rated, according to Car and Driver or whatever I looked at, the highest rated three-row SUV in the entire universe. Like, people love that car. You love it.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, I mean, I never thought I'd be in a Kia, you know, like, I just, my sort of perception of Kias is that they're like, you know, they're the cars that always get stolen in Memphis.
Oh, that's true.
But obviously, like, not a Telluride, you know, it's push start, a little harder to hotwire those. I mean, the whole thing was, I didn't intend on having another
car. Ran over something. You ran over
the universe
something.
Sort of made that decision for me. But you know, I said, once I'm going to do this, you know, I need three rows. I need some space. You know, I got kids, I got things I need to, you know, tote around. And, you know, I mean, the Q7, which is the Audi, three row, is like $80,000 starting. And I'm just like, I'm not going to pay $80,000 for a vehicle.
That seems
like,
prudent.
I'm not going to do
John,
it.
Even at your, so, even with all those jobs.
A much more economic, you know, economically sound choice, and I do love it. I mean, I'm pretty stunned by how nice the interior is and how much fun I have driving it. So yeah, I'm a proud owner of a Kia Telluride.
Because
I won't do the minivan thing, right? Like that's just not.
I know. My whole view, my minivan take. It's my oldest take. It's my oldest take ever, and it is that people who are driving SUVs are. Because they don't want to be minivan people, are not fooling anyone. They're minivan people, and they just are too arrogant to admit they're too caught up in their image, too concerned with their image to admit that they're minivan people. I looked in your Telluride the other day, and you know what I saw? I saw one car seat in the second row facing back, and another car seat in the third row facing forward. And a minivan is better for families. It's a better, more convenient vehicle. It just is a three-row SUV. But you are too damn caught up in your image to admit that you are an minivan person, even though you are.
Yeah. No, I'm vain. I'm very vain.
Pure vanity. Do you think,
I can't lean into that. I can't lean into being the minivan dad. Like,
do you think, Jeffrey, do you think that the Kia, I do think that Kia and Hyundai were once these sort of cut rate, you know, cars.
Yeah, that was their strategy to enter the marketplace.
Don't you think first of all, are they the same in terms of
Kia,
image,
Hyundai, Kia, and Genesis?
Are they the
same company?
No, but is Kia and Hyundai the same image now? If you have a Kia or a Hyundai, is Hyundai a little more upscale than a Kia?
I feel like it goes like Kia, Hyundai's a step up, and then Genesis.
But the Telluride is, that's a beautiful car. It's a beautiful car. Anyway.
I think it's like the best Kia you can get, right?
I just see Telluride. I don't even know it's a Kia. Like I was actually,
by design.
That's by design.
I kind of just call it Telluride. I don't say, hey, I got a Kia, you know, like I got a Telluride.
Driving a Telluride is the closest John's ever going to get to hiking, by the way. He wouldn't actually go to Telluride and hike around Telluride.
No, he'll drive
a Telluride.
Big skier, John?
No. Once upon a time, Jeffrey, but not the snow in Colorado.
Have you ever skied?
No, that was a joke.
Okay.
I think somebody maybe got that, but who knows?
Okay, yeah, okay, fine.
Not Jeff.
Not me. You know, you wrote, is your column up? Is your new column up?
It's up,
and it's stuck.
Okay. We have, we had a bit of a calamity Monday when we learned that Memphis had been rejected, that their generous offer had been rejected by the Big 12. And we all, I think, universally applauded Memphis for putting together such a creative and ambitious offer. And yet we bemoaned the fact that such a creative and ambitious offer wasn't even deemed worthy of a vote. It was rejected out of hand by the Big 12. So you have decided, much as you pivoted from the Audi to the Kia, you said, you know what, when life hands you certain circumstances, you ran over that whatever it was on 240, you got to pivot. And you have suggested how the University of Memphis should now pivot in this column. What is your plan for the University of Memphis?
Well, I think the plan is to face reality, which is that you're not getting into a power league, not now and probably not ever. And so given the information, I'm going to do something I don't want to do,
yeah,
which is split the revenue programs, Memphis football and Memphis basketball. And I'm going to allocate a good portion of that $200 plus million, and I'm going to essentially bribe the Big East to take Memphis basketball. I'm going to go back to the negotiating table with the Pac-12, get as favorable a deal as I can, and I'm going to get my revenue programs out of the American. I think if this last week has told us anything, it's that it's not going to happen for Memphis in the way that we want it to. I understand, like, I'm already getting some a couple Memphis football people, like, they're just so radical, like,
what's the objection for the Memphis football people?
I think they didn't read the article, is my guess.
No, but
they,
don't you, acknowledge, I mean, okay, the PAC isn't a perfect solution, and obviously the money is in the end what's most important here, we hate to say it, but just in terms of opposition,
yeah,
it's a better schedule, isn't it, Jeffrey? Modestly.
Well, yeah, it's a better schedule. It is brutal travel.
It's brutal travel.
It is brutal travel, but you know what else is brutal? Being in this league. So choose your hard, man.
Well, and I totally get it that it's brutal travel and untenable.
Listen,
if you're sending your golf team and your softball
team.
But
I'm saying, look at, even in football, look at how much the cross-country flights.
They struggle.
Yes.
No, they absolutely struggle. We've seen it even in the Big Ten. Like, they struggle.
But there is actually something that Memphis would get out of being in the Pac-12 outside of just getting to play Boise State once a year. They would essentially consolidate the group of six if they joined. Because right now, as the Pac-12 enters the fray with Boise State and UNLV and all those programs, and then there's the American right here with Memphis and Tulane and Navy, et cetera. If Memphis were to leave the AAC for the Pac-12, it would thereby then very much elevate the profile of the Pac-12. And therefore, I think basically making it to where you only have to win the Pac-12 to make the playoff every single year. There's a world where Memphis could win the American this year, be the conference champion, and still miss the playoff because Boise State had better ratings or a better record or a better whatever. If you consolidate and have head-to-head matchups and conference, I think that's just that clears the path, right? So that's actually, I think, an important step. That's an important sell of going to the Pac-12, is that you essentially, you control it now. You control your destiny, and the Pac-12 is a playoff team. But I think Memphis football fans, like, their objection to this is that basketball is the driver of this choice, because their whole thing is, isn't this why we are where we are? And I think there's a lot of reasons why Memphis athletics is where it is, but it is where it is, and it ain't changing. And the ACC, I would bet a lot of money. I wish I could go on Kalshi right now and bet, will the ACC take Memphis? And I would put a couple Tellurides on no, because the idea that Duke and Carolina and Stanford and Cal and all these programs are going to share a league with Memphis willingly, it's one thing when Cal and Stanford needed a home, and they swallowed it, and they gritted, and they buried it.
And they joined North Carolina and Duke. They're like, right, it's good enough for Duke. It's probably good enough for us.
Yeah, of course. Louisville was there, you know, and that's what I did. But they had to have a home, so they had to do something. They had to make some kind of concessions, right? They ain't trying to make any more concessions with a Memphis. And so I think people really – this is not alarmist. This is – if you can't look at the last week and come to the realization
that the iteration that you hoped would happen for Memphis, that they're going to get this red carpet rollout, that there's going to be a power league waiting, it ain't happening. Memphis has done everything that they were told to do, and they still could not even buy their way into a power league. So let's stop dreaming. Let's stop playing these games, and let's start actually taking some action. And let's save Memphis basketball, because Memphis football will be fine. Memphis football will survive. Memphis football has money. Memphis football has a path to the playoff, whether they're in the AAC or the Pac-12. If Memphis basketball is allowed or forced to stay in the AAC, it will die. It's already
Well, that's interesting. It's interesting. So Parth Upadhyay, I had a story in the Daily Memphian today. And again, this is not perfect because, you know, Ole Miss played here last whatever. But just look at non-conference attendance and conference attendance last year, actual turnstile account. Just overall, by the way, the announced attendance was 11,931, and the turnstile attendance was 6,569, which is, you know, depressing, honestly, given what the program had done once upon a time. But then you look at the non-conference-conference split. The non-conference attendance averaged 7,313. The conference games, 6,072. I can't imagine many conferences, many schools where out there in the entire universe where literally you get to your conference schedule and you're dropping average attendance by 1,300 for conference games. If you joined the Big East in basketball, what would that do for you, John?
I mean, it's almost like I don't even like to talk about it because it's so obviously a fix. I mean, you every game has juice now. Every game matters. Everybody, who on earth, you couldn't pay a bum at the gas station $20 to go down and see Memphis versus Tulsa on a cold Tuesday night, right?
You mean an unhoused person?
So excuse me. Unhoused person. I'm learning. I'm not as woke as I used to be.
I'm just kidding.
But you couldn't. That's my point. But replace Tulsa with Creighton. Replace Tulsa with St. John's. Replace Tulsa with Villanova. Now you got these games matter. These games have real, you know. Because here's the problem: people can't connect to players anymore because the roster turns over every single year. That's true. But you know what people do connect with? Brand freaking names. People know Villanova. People know UConn. People know St. John's. People know Creighton. People even know Georgetown, Providence. They know these. They will go to those games because they know the teams. They know the programs. They don't care
even
about
Seton
UAB.
Even Seton Hall, you know, like it's, yeah.
Exactly. They don't care about UAB or North Texas or FAU or none of these teams. So, I wish the Big 12 would have taken Memphis. It would have made it this so much easier. And again, credit to Memphis because they did what they had to do. I was spitting nails this time last year because I was like, how the hell can Memphis do this? How the hell can they not get out of the American? This might have been the last lifeboat. And I give them so much credit for doing something that I never thought they would do. Forego 5 years of money from, like, I just would have never in a billion years guessed that Memphis would do that. But they were told no, and now we have to do something. Now we have, because to me, that should tell you, as a Memphis fan, just how they assess the situation. It is so dire. It is so bad that a university that once upon a time couldn't even afford to fire its basketball coach is saying, we will not take any money for 5 years. That is how desperate the situation is. And so now we have to do desperate things. And that's
all right,
why
so
you
let
have
me
to
ask
throw
you
all
this.
The money
do you
to the
think East. It would – you think that you could – you think the Big East would be interested? And do you think the Pac – they've already added the team that they needed to add in order to get to the right number to have a football program, football conference going forward. Do you think they would be interested?
Yeah, I think the Pac-12 is easy because they already extended an invitation to you. And I think, like I said, you know, I think there's real appeal in consolidating the group of six, basically. You're like, all right, we're now definitively no questions asked every year with Memphis, Boise State, UNLV. I'm sure there's a fourth in there. Like, we're going to be the best conference in football every single year, the sixth best conference in football every single year. So we feel good about our conference champion making a playoff, you know, as long as that format remains the same. You know, obviously, I don't know on the Big East. I do know a couple of things. Rick Pitino lobbied for Memphis publicly in February in a SiriusXM radio interview with Mike Krzyzewski. I think you would have real champions in that conference right now. I think the idea of saying, hey, we will promise $200 million, you know, to a conference that doesn't have football revenue coming in, right? I think that is definitely appealing. And I think sort of on the court, you know, the Big East is very weak once you get past Marquette, UConn, Creighton, and St. John's. DePaul has been a mess. Georgetown's been a mess. Providence has been a mess. Butler has been a mess. You know, they really need a stable, credible program in there to shore up the middle of that conference. And that's exactly what Memphis would do. They would come in, having made the tournament three of the last 4 years, and they would belong. They would be a very, very relevant team in the Big East, and they would help the profile. That's value. That's tournament units that you're probably not going to get elsewhere.
You would be competing in a conference with teams that and programs that are not sharing their revenue with football programs.
Correct.
No, and you would be having to share your revenue with football programs. Put you at a disadvantage with your football?
You're at a disadvantage. There's no question. But again, the idea would be, hey, we'll get the full payout in time. You know, like we'll get the full payout in time. And I still think Penny has enough juice to where he would field a competitive roster. And look, he's already beat these dudes. He's got a winning record against Dan Hurley. He beat them last year when they were number two in the country. Now, they weren't quite that, but they did push Florida pretty damn good, if you don't remember, in the NCAA tournament. Should have probably won the game. Florida went on to win a national championship. So I think I'm not really worried about Memphis basketball's competitiveness in the Big East. It's just getting there. You have to get there because if you remain here, whether it be for four years, 5 years, 6 years, your program's going to die.
John, column's up at the Daily Memphian. I appreciate
you. Do you agree with what I'm saying?
I think it has some logic. I think I need to further digest it. But I do think it has some logic. Listen, what's happened to the basketball program is pathetic, honestly. Like, if you're going to those games, it's just, I mean, right now you go to a Memphis conference basketball game, and it's why the Big 12 was so intoxicating, right? Is that, you know, the idea of having, you know, Kansas coming in here and Baylor coming in here, like every year, like it was Houston back here. Like it's, oh my God, give us Memphis basketball back. And then in the end, I think John, what is required is a really cool headed assessment of the future. And I think a lot of that's from TV executives, and I think they've clearly missed the boat there a couple times now, right? Back in 2016, when they tried to get in the Big 12, they thought they were in, and they didn't correctly judge the landscape. And I think that happened this week as well. So I think I like your solution. I'm not sure it's – the part of it that I'm not certain about is whether every other option is over. You know, I don't know that. And – if I were, you know, part of the administration, the most important thing is to figure out what are the realistic options going forward. And I don't know. I heard Justin Fuente, tremendous interview, by the way, with Justin yesterday. He said over and over, I don't think it's over. So I think that's the most important thing here. I got to let you go because we got a spot. But Jeffrey and I will talk about it behind your back when we return. Thanks, John. Right. Appreciate it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team. Rep your city. Rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit amazon.com/prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. amazon.com/prime.